Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia, and welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio 102.5, Fox Sports The Gambler. Simply download that iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio. I'm broadcasting you live with Slash from our iHeartRadio studios in Ballykidwood, Pennsylvania, while my co-host, as always, is on the road with the Phillies. It feels like we haven't been together that much lately, but he's down in Lone Depot Park in Little Havana in Miami, and he's having a great time. The tan looks good, but I would like to say I got a different introduction for him today. He is not just Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy. He is play-by-play man this weekend. Sounded great yesterday on my way home from Washington Township. Without further ado, Greg Murphy, what's going on, Murph?
Well, thank you. I appreciate those thoughts. But tan, I've never been tan in my life. Pink, yes. Scalding red, yes. And pasty white, all describe me. Tan does not. The sun and I, just we don't get along. So I've been hiding from the Miami sun. It's the best case scenario for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. My wife she gives me a hard time all the time about it because I do everything to avoid the sun. Our honeymoon was in Cancun, and it was our resort was a horseshoe, and the sun would rise in the east and set in the west, and the way it would work was from the left to the right on our resort, and I would move with the shade. And she hated it. She's like, what's the point of us coming here? I was like, do you want me to be miserable or do you want me to be happy?
Well, let me tell you this. I got sun poisoning on my honeymoon. So there you go. I was not as bright as you. I did not move with the shade. And I ended up a day and a half unable to get out of bed because I was so sunburned. Yeah. So there you go.
Good Lord.
Therein lies the lesson. Be careful.
You know, sometimes though, you might need life insurance if that's the case with sun poisoning. So that's why you go to our good friends at the local State Farm agent, which combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. You can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right. Good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Again, you can call him at 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. All right. So first, before we go ahead and we do give out tickets on the program today, I'd like to wish my mom a happy birthday. And my mom's birthday is on Monday. And mom will be with my dad down at the Ludlum Hotel and the Ludlum Bar and Grill when we're down there on Saturday from noon to one. So looking forward to spending some time with them, as well as Pat. So make sure you guys come on down and hang out with us that day. It's going to be a good time. You know, it's great. I love the fact that my mom's birthday is tomorrow. And my sister hits me up about 5 days ago and says, hey, we're all going to the beach for mom's birthday on Monday. Can you guys make it? And I'm like, well, me and Rach would have been able to request off from work a couple weeks ago, but that's not how it works. So thanks for the heads up, Janice. I really appreciate the love and the thought there as well. But
perhaps they knew that.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Janice. Not all of us don't work, you know, not all of us don't have to work during the summertime. So without further ado, though, I'm giving away two more tickets for the Phillies Braves game on Monday, July 25th at 7:05. In order to win, you must answer in the comment section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle at Green Legion. Everything is funneled in to our StreamYard feed, so we're able to pick out everybody that wants to join in and try and get these tickets. If you could see any band, musician, performer, whatever, ever, dead or alive, who would you choose to see? Murph, give me yours.
I'm sorry, I put you on there. I said that's a wide open a topic right there. You can kind of, you know, run through decades and decades of different bands and different musicians and stuff. I have five. I will give you one right now. I'll give you what I would probably call number three on my list right now. I haven't ranked them in order yet, but and this is old school, and I've got a couple new school ones too. But old school, I think I would want to see Frank Sinatra. in person. I mean, I just think it would be an amazing experience. I like a lot of Sinatra stuff. I don't like it all, but I like his, you know, his main stuff. And I just think being in the room and watching him perform, whether it be at a, you know, a small venue like a casino or maybe even a little bit of a bigger venue, that would be really cool. So I would say Frank Sinatra in my top five. And I've got a couple more that we'll unveil later on. What about you?
For me, it's Queen with Freddie Mercury. You could say the Beatles. You could say Led Zeppelin. Those would be fantastic shows. The fact that Eddie Van Halen just passed away and I never got to see Van Halen in person. And they were doing shows there for a while. I would love to have seen like young Van Halen for sure. But Queen with Freddie Mercury is number one for me. No doubt about it. It would be a great show. I know Slash was saying before we went live, he was saying Pink Floyd. I've seen Roger Waters in The Wall at Citizens Bank Park. That was a great show. But he wants to see vintage Pink Floyd. Sure. And Sam was saying something about Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. Maybe actually, I'm lying. Backstreet Boys for me, if I can add that on there as well. But
yeah, you would.
Well, they were in Camden on Thursday night, and you know that's my number one karaoke song. I want it that way. I sang it at my wedding. I sang it at my brother's wedding. It might happen again. I don't know. I am going to start charging to have it done at weddings. So. What's that?
I said, I hope your wife's not listening if you're planning on having another wedding.
No. I'm going to start charging if I'm singing at other people's weddings now. if that's what you're anticipating or expecting from me, that's what I'm doing. I'm charging moving forward.
There you go. All right. So there you go. Backstreet Boys. Interesting. All right. I can't say I have any boy bands on my list.
There's no doubt about it. I know you don't have any on there. Probably 98 Degrees. No 98 Degrees. Or O-Town.
I don't even know who they are. No 98. No 99. I don't even have 100 Degrees on my list. So there you go.
Yeah, you're getting enough 100 Degrees down there for sure in Miami.
Exactly.
All right, without further ado, let's go out of the box. Rough week to start for the Phillies by going on a 4-game losing streak, but they've righted the ship in Miami with winning their last two, winning their first road series in Miami in 3 years. 5 games over .500, 9.5 games behind the Mets in the National League East, but a half game behind the Cardinals in a wild card race. They're 1 game ahead of the San Francisco Giants, which I put in the run sheet, the Gabe Kaplers, in the wild card standings with the Marlins 5 back, Rockies 6 back, and then everyone else is pretty distant from there. So Murph, looking at it right now, we're going into the All-Star break. We're not going to have much to talk about next week as far as Phillies games are concerned. We're going to have, you know, probably today's game and the All-Star game and Friday night against the Cubs before we go live on Saturday afternoon. What has been your biggest takeaway from the Phillies during the first half of this season?
Yeah, you know, I guess one of the biggest takeaways is the inconsistency, right? We've seen flashes of this team that we expected to see, this powerful offense, you know, top two starters in baseball on the mound, and even the bullpen rounding into shape and really pitching well. And we've seen that all come together. We saw it come together yesterday, as a matter of fact. And when you see that, you're like, this team is as good as any in the National League, or pretty close anyway. And then we've seen the other side of it, the past week, the long stretch of just, very subpar offense and an occasional, you know, what you're going to get, an occasional clunker from Zach Wheeler or Aaron Nola and a bullpen implosion at some point. So we've seen a lot of it. And look, if you're watching, we watch the Phillies and we watch them every night and we're uber focused on them. But if you take a step back and look at everybody, every team has a little bit of that. But I think we're seeing it less now here in Philadelphia, which is good. Early on, we were seeing it an awful lot, which is why they were playing around .500 baseball, because they were so wildly inconsistent. They're getting better. They're getting a little bit more consistent. So that's my first takeaway. But my second takeaway is just what a good job they've done, you know, with the next man up mentality. They've lost a lot of different big components to this team over the course of the season. Obviously, the biggest, Bryce Harper, still not back. Gene Segura was a huge loss. But, you know, they've lost two-fifths of their rotation at one point. They've lost some arms in the bullpen that were really contributing. And it seems like they've been able to kind of keep the ship steady, keep it moving forward, and even in that time, you know, build and get over .500 and get as many as 7 games over .500. They're 5 right now. So I think that's been good to see. I think those are probably my two big takeaways.
My biggest takeaway, Murph, is the late inning comeback is back. This team, you never truly feel, and we said this in our first show of this season after we added Schwarber and Castellanos, and Schwarber had a rough start to the season, and he's really ready to ship. Obviously, he's going to the All-Star game. He's the number one seed in the Home Run Derby. Castellanos hasn't really found himself yet and really got himself going, although I believe he's had he's reached base in 13 consecutive, six straight games now with a hit. So maybe we're starting to see the rise of Nick Castellanos, although I want to see more power out of him, more power numbers, especially with Bryce out of the lineup. Power is what's needed. But the fact that it late in games now, you feel like this team has a chance to come back. And a lot of those, and we addressed this a couple weeks ago during that streak where the Phillies were really rolling well. A lot of it was started at the back end of the lineup, and it rolled over, and then it allowed the guys like Schwarber and Hoskins, and at the time Harper and Castellanos and Derek Hall now. It allowed those guys to really find themselves at the plate and find themselves with runners in scoring position, runners on base, and allowing them to take advantage of opportunities late in games. That's been something that has been really missing from Phillies baseball over the last decade, was the art of the walk-off, the art of the go-ahead hit. It seems like they've found that again, and I don't know if that's a credit to the hitting coach or if that's a credit to the manager for bringing that type of attitude and relaxedness that the guys now have in the clubhouse. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of pressure on them to perform in those late game situations. They just go out there and they're just free swinging, doing what they need to do to get the runners in. And hey, listen, if my hit is only going to tie the game, I'm trusting the guy behind me to win the game. And I can appreciate that. It's a lot of fun to have that level of baseball back in Philadelphia.
I would agree with you. I think that's a really good point, Zach. And I just finished typing up a note that I'm going to use during today's game. That
did you just write all that up? You can use that.
I'll use that, but I'm going to use this as well. And that is that they have a run differential right now, and I think the number's 56. I'd have to double check, but plus 56 in the first half of the season. That's their biggest run differential on the positive side since 2011. Which is a team that, you know, that we did expect to come back late in games, and a team that you did expect to score a ton of runs. They were plus 89 at the All-Star break, that 2011 team. But it's to say, you know, it's been a decade since the Phillies have been in this kind of position, scoring the amount of runs that they're scoring in the first half of the season. And I don't think this team has tapped its full potential yet offensively. I really don't. I mean, you talk about JT Realmuto just starting to get hot. You mentioned Nick Castellanos. They're obviously without Bryce Harper. Didi Gregorius hits his first home run yesterday. You know, these are guys that you expect to produce runs, and we haven't seen a whole lot from them early on, but there's no reason to believe that they're not going to get, you know, hot in the second half of the season. So I don't think they've reached their potential yet. So it's pretty exciting.
We're going to get to JT in a couple seconds here, but the biggest surprise and your biggest disappointment so far this season?
I think the biggest surprise is a negative, and that would be Castellanos, because I loved the Nick Castellanos. I thought he was going to just be an absolute stud in the middle of this lineup, and he still might be, but he hasn't been yet, and I am surprised by that. I'm surprised it's taken him this long to figure it out. So hopefully he does in the second half and has a huge second half. So that's first and foremost. Biggest disappointment, I guess, is just, again, I go back to the inconsistency. I feel like there was a lot of games early in the season, especially in the month of May, that the Phils kind of gave away, you know, games that they should have won, games that they could have won, and they didn't. And, you know, you just hope they don't come back to bite them at some point late in the season. But that would be my two takeaways. So I guess two little bit of a negative one for positive or surprises and disappointments, but I do think that Castellanos starts to turn it around, and if he does and starts to rise to the level of what we expect him to be, I mean, look out, because that's pretty special. He's a pretty special hitter when he's going well.
Yeah, my biggest surprise and my biggest disappointment, I can tie to one player, and this isn't a knock on anything that he's done. When I want to say, as far as the biggest disappointment end, it's Alec Bohm, as far as his power numbers. I haven't seen much out of him. For a third overall pick in the first round, yes, he makes contact, he gets on base. I was expecting more as far as, like, in the hot corner, being a third baseman, being able to drive the ball more. that's something that I hope to see more of in the second half. It feels like he's been getting there. Like, his confidence level has really picked up over the last month and a half for sure. I want to see him driving the ball more. More extra base hits, more doubles, more home runs, going over the fence. That's what I want to see out of Alec. But I will give him credit on this. My biggest surprise is how well he's played defensively since that first week of the season. Because I did not see this happening at all from him over at third base. And I'm not giving him the gold glove by any means. But the fact that he's making the routine plays, he's making them well. He made some great plays in the Cardinals series last week. A couple against multiple-time gold glove winner Nolan Arenado. What Bobby Dickerson is doing with him over at third base, the hundreds of ground balls that you said that he's been hitting to him daily before games. What a change it's been since the first week of the season. And now you're able to get him into the lineup consistently every single day. You couldn't say that the first couple weeks of the season. Right. And he's rebounded really well. And that's a good thing, too, because a lot of people at the beginning of the year were going, well, you know, we could trade Reese and we could put Boehm over at first. Well, now you can fit them both in there, because I think Reese played pretty well at first base, too.
Yes. I
look at the corners and I don't look at them as defensive. Inefficient anymore. The defense as a whole has played really well.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Bobby Dickerson, because I do think he's a big part of it. But you got to give both Reese and Alec a ton of credit for the amount of work they put in. I mean, we've been around Reese for years now, and we know what kind of work he puts in. But Alec is hit the maturity level from Alec Boehm from April to today is just the it's off the charts how much he has matured. I don't mean that, you know, as a person per se. I mean that as a ball player and the way he handles himself and the way he carries himself and the way he deals with the media and the way he handles his position. All of that, the growth that I've seen out of Alec Boehm, to me, it's just been outstanding. So I hear what you're saying about the power numbers, and I don't disagree. But I think there's real room for growth for Alec. I think he's going to continue to just kind of feel more and more comfortable in his skin, and that kind of stuff is going to come. I don't know if he's ever going to be a 35 home run kind of guy, but if he's a 15 to 20 home run kind of guy and hitting for average and not getting runs, I'm totally fine with that. You need guys like that too. And let me one other, I don't want to call him a surprise because I kind of expect it from him, but Reese Hoskins has just been really good the first half of the season. He's on pace to hit close to 40 home runs this year. I think he has 19 at this point. Hoskins is just, he's a guy we don't talk about a whole lot, right? Because he just kind of goes about his business. He's a streaky guy, but he's less streaky this year.
I agree.
Than he has been in past. And to your point, playing solid defense as well, which is good to see. And he's never going to be a gold glover over there, but he's going to be good enough to
make the routine play.
Yeah, and you can put him in every day, expect him to make the plays, and that's enough. And if he keeps swinging the bat the way he does, I mean, you know, he's going to have 30 home runs this year. They're going to have four or five guys with 30 home runs this year when it's all said. Well, they could have four guys maybe with 30 home runs, and that would be good to see. So,
yeah, and also you had brought him up a little bit ago, JT Realmuto. A lot of criticism this week about his unvaccinated status. But since he's returned from the restricted list, it's been with a vengeance, man. It's like it's been unreal the way JT has played the last couple days. 5 for 8, 2 doubles, a home run, 3 RBI, 2 runs scored. I think he not only felt the backlash from the media itself, but the fans, social media, everybody likes to call people out and wants to try and turn their head on you. Instagram, he's on there. I think he's on Twitter. I'm sure he's gotten a lot over the last week from people. He keeps up at this pace and he starts getting back to that all-star quality level that we've known from JT Realmuto. I think a lot of people are going to forget about him not taking the shot. What do you think?
Yeah, of course they are, because nobody, well.
Unless we play the Blue Jays really in the World Series, right?
I don't want to get into the whole, you know,
I'm right there with you. To me, you do what you got to do for yourself and for your family. If that works
how
for you.
I feel about just about everything.
If that works for you, I've got no issues with it at all. All I know is all along is how it affected me and the vaccinations has allowed me to get back to a normal way of life. But, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do about it. But, you know, the only way it becomes an issue now is if the Phillies play the Blue Jays in the World Series. That's it.
Yeah, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But, I don't know that that JT was overly affected by the criticism. I mean, honestly, he made his decision. He believes in his decision. He doesn't really care what anyone else thinks, nor should he. I don't really care what anyone else thinks about me and my decisions, and nor should I. You know, so I think the idea that maybe he, you know, heard the criticism and bared down, I just think he's seeing the ball better. Back when we were in St. Louis, before the whole, you know, the whole situation, he was swinging that pretty good there too. And he's just kind of carried it over. I do think that having a couple of days off perhaps maybe gave him a little bit of a recovery time that his body certainly could use. And we're seeing the results of that right now because he really seems to be moving around, swinging the bat pretty hot down here in Miami. But he's also killed the Marlins this year. In the past, he has struggled against his old team. This season, his numbers are really good against the Marlins. So I think we're seeing a little bit of all that. He's a good baseball player. You expected him to break out of it. It's kind of like the Castellanos thing as well. You know, you expect these guys to eventually get to where they normally are. So I think that's what we're seeing with JT right now, but it couldn't have come at a better time.
No, absolutely not. And that's why a lot of people need to go to Premier Window Cleaning, the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience. They offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call, 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. Coming up in the second segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the Home Run Derby. We have a little bit more Phillies talk. And Juan Soto turning down $440 million. Say it ain't so. Right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance. Everybody, yeah. Rock your body, yeah. Everybody,
yeah. Rock your body right. Baseball Brunch is back. Welcome back. Second segment here. Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler.
I might have to change my top five concert list. Put Zach on the list.
Did you hear the song along with my line? Or can you not hear the music this week?
I don't hear the music, no.
It's all good. Whoever's
in studio, get the music down here in Miami.
You don't need the music. You got everything else.
We got a lot of noise here. There's no doubt.
Yeah. It's not that much, though. It's all good. There's going to be a lot of... Hot off the presses. Yes. Is that the lineup?
Would you like the lineup?
Yeah, please. Let's go ahead.
All right, here we go. Kyle Schwarber leading off and playing left field, followed by Rhys Hoskins, your DH today. Nick Castellanos is in right. JT Realmuto is going to catch today. They figured as much after a couple of days off and heading into the
break. He's got another four coming up.
Yep. Alec Bohm is at third. He'll bat fifth. Matt Vierling in center field batting sixth. Didi Gregorius is the shortstop. Jairo Munoz was going to play second today. He'll bat eighth. And Johan Camargo playing first base today and batting ninth.
So welcome back, Johan.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good lineup for sure. But you know what? It's going to be a better lineup on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler next Saturday or this upcoming Saturday. It's going to be an awesome time. We're going to have a blast over there at the Ludlum Bar and Grill at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, the old La Costa. Make sure you guys come and check us out. We are not going to be on next Sunday at Xfinity Live. We're going to be back there in a couple weeks when the Phillies are there for alumni weekend against the Nationals. So make sure you guys come and hang out with us down at Seattle City. Murph and I will be on from noon to 1. Followed by Green Legion Radio with the whole cast of characters alongside Eagles legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer. So you guys want to make sure. And that's from 1 to 3. So you're going to get me for 3 hours next Saturday. God bless all of you for having to deal with me for sure. Hopefully someone's feeding me food on the side during the course of that. But we'll see because, you know, I talk about this food every single week. It's the freshest local seafood cooked simple to ensure the flavor that already exists stays that way. So make sure you guys check them out. Go to LudlumHotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829 for all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions. The Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City. Check us out next Saturday down there for sure. Hey, no doubt. It's going to be a good time. Me and Murph, hopefully we're going to be firmly entrenched under some sort of shade so that way we're not baking out there in the sun.
That's a must. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to put that in the contract for next week.
For sure.
And make sure you guys also go and put your answers in. If you could see any performer, band, musician, all time, go to any of our social media platforms and get yours in there. Dead or alive, who would you like to see? So you guys can win tickets for Monday, the 25th, against the Atlanta Braves. Should be a great series. Speaking of great, it was great seeing some returns yesterday from the injured list. Ranger Suarez threw 64 pitches in 5 innings, 4 hits with 4 strikeouts. Obviously, the Phillies won 10-0, so we don't have to get into any how many runs were given up. Connor Brogdon returned for the first time since June 22nd with a clean inning. And Jojo Romero pitched the last inning with a strikeout in his return from Tommy John surgery. I saw Zach Eflin pitched a simulated game on Saturday, and Sam Coudron's right around the corner. This pitching staff is starting to look pretty good, starting to look healthy now, Murph. This is big time, especially heading into the trade deadline in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a conversation with Sam Fold, I guess it was last week, Phillies general manager Sam Fold, and I said, you've got all these arms coming back, the Brogdons and the Coonrods and the Jojos that you just mentioned. I said, there's going to have to be some decisions made. And he's like, yeah, but it's the kind of decisions that a front office wants to have to make, right? Too many good arms, and you're going to have to stash a couple down in the Lehigh Valley, but you're okay with that because you know that you have depth down there. The key for the front office is making the right calls. Who do you keep? Who do you send down? But all in all, certainly a good problem to have.
Yes, and also going off on top of that, congratulations, Didi Gregorius. Finally hit his first home run of the season on Saturday in that 8th inning. Combined, this is what the Phillies did in that inning, and I know you announced it because I was listening yesterday on the way home. Yes, congratulations. We got a round of applause here from Slash. Play-by-play man on the radio, Greg Murphy, yesterday. It was line drive after line drive after line drive after line drive. Great listen with you and Kevin Stocker. 2 doubles, 2 home runs, including Kyle Schwarber's National League leading 29th, and 7 hits, 5 runs scored in that inning. But it was great to see Didi get off the schneid there, Murph. I know it's been a long time coming for him and his teammates. I always love seeing that reaction from your teammates and how much they care about you, how much they want to see you succeed. That was a great moment for Didi, and hopefully that's a springboard to more success this season for him.
Yeah, let's hope so. Because, he is a guy that you expect to drive in runs and hit for a little bit of power for sure. And he finally gets it. But I agree with you. The reaction in the dugout was awesome. JT said after the game that, they thought about, icing him and going down into the tunnel and not being in the dugout when he got there, like they give the rookie treatment. But then they decided, nope, they wanted to show him the love, and they certainly did that. It was fun to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it was a lot of fun for sure. Here, we've teased this going into break. And the big news in baseball this week is Juan Soto and the Washington Nationals. He rejected yesterday a 15-year, $440 million contract. The Nationals are now going to shop him heading into the trade deadline. This is going to be a big return, a big trade package, if it does happen, for the 24-year-old phenom outfielder. I look at it like this, Murph, and we were kind of talking about it. For those of you that actually watch us on StreamYard and our social media platforms, a lot of people love our interaction during breaks, and we kind of started to get into it. And I just want to refrain myself. I don't want to sit here and ridicule a guy. Like, in a lot of ways, people are going to sit there and go, how does somebody turn down $440 million? When is enough enough? How much is he actually going to ask for whenever he winds up getting someplace? I want to know how much of that is actually going to be guaranteed during the life of that contract. Because remember, Bryce Harper is in Philadelphia, and this might not be the only reason, but a big reason. They were trying to push a third of that $300 million that they offered to him. They were trying to push that off until he turned 65 years old. I mean, you know, life isn't guaranteed. And for you to think that, you know, by the time you get to 65 and you're going to enjoy $100 million, that's all well and good. But I want to know how much of that $440 million they were trying to defer until later. They've deferred money for Scherzer. They've deferred money for Strasburg. I mean, that might have been a big deterrent and an issue for him. And I know you were expressing yourself in a different light, but you got to kind of see it from that way, too. How much of that money were they trying to defer? Because I'm not trying to wait around till 65 for money that I earned.
Yeah, well, and I get that, although I will if someone wants to give it to me. Although I'm a heck of a lot closer to 65 than he is. But, you know,
that's 40 years down the road for him, Murph.
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, that maybe perhaps that was part of the contract. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you almost have to defer some of the money at that level because, you know, franchises, sure, they're worth an awful lot, but that's a lot of money you're giving to one person each and every year. So, you know, I'm sure they have to get creative with the accounting. My take on it, Kevin and I talked about this on the air yesterday. I think, you know, and again, I don't know Juan Soto and I don't know what he's thinking, but perhaps he's thinking, well, I can probably get a similar deal elsewhere. And the state of the Nats right now and for the immediate future doesn't look all that good. And it's a little shaky with the ownership group talking about selling the team. You don't know who's going to come in and purchase the team. And so there's a lot of uncertainty with that organization right now. And, you know, Juan is certainly the most talented player in that organization. And then what, right? So maybe he's looking around and thinking, maybe I head elsewhere, get a similar deal. He's going to make a ton of money no matter where he plays and has a chance to win a lot more than perhaps he would in Washington. Now, the Nationals could turn it around tomorrow, right? You know, Mike Rizzo could go out and make a deal and get some young talent. It's certainly possible, and I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just saying if you look at it right now in their current situation, it doesn't look all that promising right now. So maybe that filter, you know, if I'm a win, I want to win. And the money would be important. For sure, obviously. But if I could get similar money with an organization that I believe is going to win, that for me, that's where I'd want to be.
Where do you see him going?
Well, there's only a couple teams that can play in that sandbox, I think.
Correct.
So, you know, I think it's all the regular players. You got the Yankees and the Red Sox, and perhaps the Astros.
Well, the Red Sox don't even want to pay their own players. That's why Betts with the Dodgers and Devers and Bogarts might be getting shopped at some point.
And you're right. So then the Dodgers obviously on that list. You could put the Phillies on that list. They certainly can play in that playground. I don't necessarily think they will, but you know. So there's ten teams perhaps.
Padres.
In Major League Baseball. Yeah, maybe the Padres, although they've spent a boatload of money already over the course of the last couple of years. So, you know, it remains to be seen. But I don't think everybody can dabble in that playing field. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, whether he moves at all or, you know, finally settles in with Washington. And I don't know. But whoever gets him is going to have to give up an awful lot.
Yeah. I think that's more than what the Phillies have. I mean, it's funny how the Dodgers and the Yankees make the playoffs every single year, yet they always have these highly touted prospects, like a bunch of them to where they can move them. But, you know, I was looking at this morning. This is, you know, and a lot of times we know that from those deals that the Phillies made years ago for, you know, Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee and Hunter Pence. You know, only a couple of those guys panned out. It took a while for Darno to pan out, and Carlos Carrasco's had a good career, but not to the level of, you know, Cliff Lee and you know, Roy Halladay and Hunter Pence with their careers. This guy yesterday tweeted this out in regards to, his name's Cody Welling, in regards to Justin Verlander. He's 39 years old, 12-3 with a 1.89 ERA this season. He's 55-18 since that trade to Houston. The Tigers received a pitcher that has pitched in 14 minor league games, a second-rate catcher with a 182 career average with Tommy John, and a career minor league outfielder, one of the worst trades in baseball history. Yet, at the time, if you're the Tigers making that deal, you're thinking you're getting a steal for Justin Verlander. So it just goes to show you that, you know, yeah, you can covet your prospects, but they're not going to always pan out, especially once they change organizations, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, the old saying in baseball, prospects are suspects until they become players. So and it's the truth. And more often than not, it just goes to show you how hard it is, A, to get to the big leagues, B, stay in the big leagues, and C, be a star player in the big leagues, right? I mean, the pyramid is so narrow at the top. And, you know, that's front office jobs. They ain't easy. You know, we're all quick to bash what folks do in the front office and the decisions they make. But man, oh man, you know, I've said many times, well, I would have done that in a heartbeat, and it turns out terribly. So, you know, you just never know. But yeah, but Justin Verlander, man, Clayton Kershaw, God, are you getting Scherzer? It's amazing what these guys continue to do at the age that they're at.
So. Yeah, no doubt about it. And real quick, before we go to break, Home Run Derby, do you get excited? Yeah. Do you still get excited about it? Like, I can't wait for it to be here in 2026 for the first time. It's going to be like, I want to see people, you know, ripping them off the new scoreboard that's going to be up there opening day next season, which was a bit of piece of news that the Phillies put out there this week. But, you know, it's kind of like the slam dunk contest in the NBA now. Like, it's way better than the slam dunk contest. But, like, you want some of the bigger stars to be involved, you know, like the fact that Judge and Stanton, or at least one of them, is not representing the American League in this is a little bit disappointing, to see if they're going to put one out of Dodger Stadium. But I still do get excited every year. The Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game, to me, with Major League Baseball, it's a phenomenal showcase.
This is my reaction to the Home Run Derby. I know
what you're going to be doing on your All-Star break.
Yeah, I have almost no interest in the Home Run Derby. The only reason I have any interest this year is to watch Kyle Schwarber, and I will, because I'm pulling for him. I want him to win it. I think it'd be great for the organization, great for him, and he deserves it. So I will be watching. But for the most part, I have very little interest in the Home Run Derby. I have interest in the All-Star Game, but, you know, I certainly not hanging on every pitch either. You know, I look at that as, you know, a great honor for the players, but it's an exhibition, and I'm not overly concerned with how it turns out. I'd like to see our guys, well, one guy, Schwarber, get a little time and maybe do some things. But for the most part, no. And, you know, you mentioned the slam dunk. I haven't been interested in the slam dunk contest since Jordan was in it. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel about those extracurricular. I know it's probably an unpopular position, but I watch baseball, you know, 162 plus games a year, and I live and die with every pitch, right? And I love it, and it's what I enjoy doing, and it's what I get paid to do. So when it doesn't matter, it doesn't really interest me. So I guess that's the way I look at it, and it's been that way for a long time.
Hey, is Bryce going to be out there at least for the festivities?
No, I don't believe so. He's got doctor's appointments pretty much lined up. You know, he's seeing the docs every other day, every third day, just to keep, you know, progress on the hand. So, no, I do not believe he will be out there at all.
Okay. All right. So make sure you guys listen. Football season is right around the corner in the next couple of weeks. Eagles start training camp, which means you want to travel with the best that there is. And we've been doing it for 20 years here at the Green Legion. Make sure you guys check us out. Go to greenlegion.com or call the office at 215-666-5940. Also, if you guys are looking for sponsorship opportunities with Bud Light Baseball Brunch or with our Green Legion radio programming coming up in football season, which is going to be, man, it's going to be phenomenal with the pregame show and the players show. We're going to have a great time this upcoming football season. Make sure you guys email Quimby at quimby@greenlegion.com if you have any interest in sponsoring our programming the rest of the summer and going into football season. And yes, it's halfway through baseball season, but just because you're only going to get half of us during baseball season doesn't mean that we're not going to promote you and your business during the course of football season, which is, we're hoping, is going to be through mid-February. We'll see how
after
things go.
Baseball season finishes in early November.
And that's a great band, too. I really enjoy them. So speaking of bands, make sure you guys go and you know, get on there and try and win these tickets for Monday, July 25th for the Braves. In our last segment, we have our picks coming up. Can you believe it? And I want to know what Murph's going to be doing this week while he's on the not just the All-Star break for the Phillies. Sleeping, of course. I want more details than that right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
you gonna take me home tonight? Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you gonna let it all hang out? Fat bottom girls, you make the rockin' world go round.
Welcome back. Final segment here on this beautiful Sunday in the Delaware Valley, especially after yesterday with the rain last night. But hopefully the Phillies bring more rain down there in Miami today, as the Marlins and their fans will be crying themselves into the All-Star break. And we'll see how things go with that for sure. Just to chime in as well, my dad is listening to the show. Thanks, Dad. And I'm hoping Mom got her birthday shout out. Love you both. Thanks for tuning in. I know you guys are down at the shore. Dad says the home run derby is like Rocky movies, past its time.
me and your dad are in lockstep.
All right. So let's go ahead, Murph. Let's give away these tickets. So
we have
10. All right. You want to give me your top five real quick?
I can do that for sure. Let me
run them down. We're getting the Phillies broadcast. What I think Stocker said.
Yeah. So Kevin Stocker said Rush. That would be the one that popped into his mind first and foremost. T-Mac said the Beatles, classic, right? You know, I think it's hard to argue. Going to see the Beatles would be pretty cool, no matter where you saw them.
So, smart men yeah. On that broadcast team.
Yeah. Two good ones. Okay, I don't have either of those on my list, although I toyed with the Beatles because I do think that would be kind of cool. I mentioned seeing Frank Sinatra. I just think, again, being in a room with Frank, him playing, would just be kind of cool. A band that I probably should have seen already, and actually had tickets for their last concert, wasn't able to go. U2. I've always wanted to see U2.
I'm right there with you.
I know they put on a great show, and I've never seen them. So U2 is on my list. The Foo Fighters. I love the Foo Fighters.
They're phenomenal.
I know they are spectacular live. So I would love to see the Foo Fighters, and maybe that'll happen someday.
Just no Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah. So, but they'd be number three on my list. Number two is a band you mentioned, Van Halen. I think Van Halen would be amazing. Old Van Halen, the David Lee Roth era. I would love to have seen them when I was younger and they were younger. That would have been kind of cool. And finally, I just think it would be the most amazing concert experience, Michael Jackson. The ultimate showman. You think back to, I was growing up in the era where Michael was huge, and every song he put out was just a mega hit and just a huge international event. You know, he based TV on the map, and everything he did was newsworthy. And I just think he performer to watch. So those are my top five.
All right. So here's what we have. We have 10 on the list this week. Elvis.
Okay. Yeah. Jimmy, I thought about him too.
Yeah. Yeah. Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
No, not. No, Elvis. Right? He's like Costello.
Oh, God.
All right. So Jimi Hendrix, Beatles, Van Halen, Prince, Whitney, Michael Jackson, Jethro Tull, Four Tops and Temptations, and the Rat Pack.
Okay. All good. I mean, I like every single one of them. I'd pretty much every single one. I'd go see all of them. Obviously, I had a couple of those on my list. So Michael Jackson was my number one. So I got to stick with that. I'll give Michael Jackson my vote.
All right. It's kind of cheating because I said Van Halen.
You can let Kev.
You want Kev to be the tiebreaker today?
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I'm going to say Van Halen.
Okay. Yeah. So, and again, Van Halen's on my list, so yep. I'm not going to argue with
so
that.
So he's got to pick between Van Halen and Michael Jackson. What is Kevin Stocker?
Kevin Stocker is over here. There he is. There he is. Getting ready.
What's up, Stock?
Getting ready. But, Kev, we need a tiebreaker, a concert that you'd like to see between Michael Jackson and Van Halen. The old Van Halen. We went with the... Okay, old Van Halen
old
it
Van
is.
Van Halen. Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Congratulations to Eric Hoffer.
Is getting the nod.
And so thank you to Kevin Stocker for chiming in as well. Listen, don't put pressure on my man while we're on the air, but I would love to have him on the show at some point this season. So
okay.
Let's see what we can line up, coming up. Maybe Alumni Weekend at Xfinity if he's in town, or we can, he should be. It's Alumni Weekend. He should be. Yeah.
He has to be in town because my man lives out there in Washington
State. The great Northwest.
So the time difference would be a little rough for our morning radio show. So, but we'll see what we can do. Go ahead.
Right. Sounds great. All right. So let's go ahead. Let's do our picks for this Sunday's action in Major League Baseball. Uh-oh. Murph had a rough week last week. 0-3. So nothing's changed. He's 14-19 with 19 points. I had a bounce back after four consecutive weeks of 1-2. I went 2-1. I hit my underdog. So I got 3 points. I am now at 16-17 with 22 points. Murph, give me your first pick this week.
All right. My underdog is the first pick this week. The Red Sox and the Yankees are playing today. It's Gerrit Cole and Chris Sale. And I know he's coming off injury, but Chris Sale out there on the mound for the Red Sox. And the Red Sox are plus 170 in this game.
Wow.
I really think, I mean, look, should the Yankees be favored with Gerrit Cole on the mound? Absolutely. Could the Red Sox and Chris Sale step up and beat the Yanks today? Yeah, they certainly could. So I'll take the plus 170, and I'll take the Red Sox as my underdog this week.
Okay, my over-under is in that game because last week they bit me. I said the under on Sunday Night Baseball, and they wound up going over, I think it was before the fifth inning. So that didn't work out so well. But today's over 7.5 is what I'm going with. They played 6 times over the last week plus. And they've gone over all 6 times. I don't care if it's Sale versus Cole. I think this is Sale's second start back from the IL. And Gerrit Cole, he gets roughed up against the Red Sox. I'm going over 7.5 today. They're going to do it again. There's going to be plenty of runs. Second pick.
All right. Next pick for me would be St. Louis and the Reds getting together. I believe this is a 4-game series, if I'm not mistaken. And they're finishing it up. St. Louis is minus 170. Today, heavy favorites over the Reds, and well, they should be. They're a much better team than the Reds. I know the Cardinals haven't been playing lights out baseball, but certainly think they get the win today against the Reds. So I'll take St. Louis as my favorite this week, minus 170.
All right, my underdog this week is the Orioles, plus 135 against the Rays in Tampa. They've won 11 of the last 12. They're 1 game over .500. They're firmly entrenched in that wild card race. Time for them to finish the first half strong. So I'm going with the Ose. That's my dog and your last pick.
All right, Blue Jays in Kansas City. It's a pretty good pitching matchup. The over-under is 9 in that game. I'm going to take the under. I don't think Kansas City is going to score a lot on Barrios.
Yeah, Triple-A team.
And the Blue Jays offense has been kind of hit or miss, right? So even when they're winning games, they're not scoring a ton of runs right now. So I'm going to go under 9, Blue Jays in Kansas City, third pick.
All right, and I always seem to get bit in the rear end whenever I either go with or against Gabe Kapler, but I'm going with him this week. Giants minus 145 against the Brew Crew. Logan Webb is on the hill to finish out the first half of the season for the Giants. They've taken 2 of the first 3 in this 4-game set. They've won 6 of their last 8 since losing 8 of their previous 9. I'm going to have the Giants winning today out there in San Francisco. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? 2 things we found interesting from Major League Baseball this last week. Murph, give me your first one.
All right. So we know that Shohei Ohtani is a pretty good ball player. We know he's a pretty good offensive player.
We could get 4 off of him every single week.
This just in. He's also a pretty good pitcher. How about this? 50-plus strikeouts and 1 or 0 earned runs in a 5-outing span. So 5 outings in a row, and you accumulate those numbers. Shohei Ohtani has done it this year, 2022. Chris Sale has done it. Clayton Kershaw has done it twice. R.A. Dickey did it back in 2012, and Randy Johnson has done it. That's a pretty good list to be on right there for Shohei Ohtani, and he just continues to rake as well.
Speaking of Shohei, this is courtesy of Sarah Langs, S. Langs on Sports. Most games with 10-plus strikeouts and multiple RBI in a single season since RBI became official in 1920. Ohtani has 3 such games. Kevin Millwood three such games in 1999. And 1946, Hal Neuhauser had three as well.
All right.
Second one.
That's pretty good. All right. I like this one, and this is from MLB Stats. And it just kind of paints a really good picture of Major League Baseball, calling it a global game. 42.4% of this year's All-Stars were born internationally. 42% of the guys in the All-Star game are born internationally. Wow. I think that's awesome, right? Representing, you know, all kinds of countries in Central and South America and in Asia and even in Europe and obviously the United States and Canada. So Mexico, just all over the globe. Baseball is thriving. And I think that's a really cool stat.
Okay, and I'm going to go with one from the Giants, which is funny because Bryce Harper hit a walk-off grand slam just a few years ago against the Cubs. But the Giants have had one on Saturday night, and it's been a while because Mike Yastrzemski hit one yesterday for the Giants. Mm-hmm. First time that's happened since September 3rd, 1973, when Bobby Bonds did it.
I was two. Yeah.
I wasn't even thought of. My dad was 11.
Yeah, not Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonds.
Bobby Bonds. The good Bonds. So, Murph, real quick, we don't have much going on this week. We have the finale today. The Phillies looking to break out the brooms. We're going to be able to talk about Friday's game. Just remember, a quick programming note is that we're not on next Sunday. We will not be at Xfinity Live. We will be at the Ludlum Bar and Grill in Seattle City. So make sure you guys check us out. It'll be on Saturday from noon to 1. So make sure you guys come on down and hang out with Murph and Irving Fryer. The rest of the crazy cast of characters. What I want to know, though, Murph, what are you doing this week? You getting an extended vacation down there in Miami on the Phillies dime, or what's going on?
No, it doesn't work that way. extended vacation,
at least the flight home, right?
Well, I could fly home to Philly, but I'm not going to. I'm actually, as soon as the game's over, the Phils, we have team buses that take us to the airport. One of the buses is going to drop off anybody that wants to go to the commercial terminals. They can do that. So I'm going to be on that bus, head into the international airport here in Miami, and I have a car set and ready to go. I'm jumping in that, and I'm driving north to Hilton Head, South Carolina, where we're going to spend about 4 days. My aunt and uncle live down there, and we're going to crash at their place and just kind of sit back and relax, hide from the sun, and kind of recharge the batteries. That's what it's all about.
Sounds great, man. And enjoy your time off. I know you're looking forward to it. I know I broke your stones a couple weeks ago about you actually getting the 4th of July off for once. But, you know, I'll leave this one alone. You work hard. You guys are on and off the road all year long. So this is a well-deserved break for you and for your broadcast partners. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Thanks, Zach.
All right. So let's go ahead. Let's close this up right now. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby, for Phillies play-by-play man, Greg Murphy, Super Sam Brady, / I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio. We're out of here. Go Phillies. Break out those brooms.
Girl, you really got me now. You got me solid.